Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I appreciated Bruce's word. God's got something good for you tonight. God's got something good for us here tonight. The presence of the Lord is in this place. All right. Yeah, the one who made you, the one who's seen the beginning, the end from the beginning. He's here tonight. Tonight we sing for him and him alone. We praise him. The word of God is here. He's going to do something powerful tonight. We're trusting in him. And he's going to do some good stuff for us. As we were praising and worshiping God, I just felt like tonight was a night that God wanted to take the barriers off our life. God would say to us tonight, don't judge the future by what you've seen in the past. Just because it has been doesn't mean that it will be. I think of the children of Israel, all they knew was slavery for 400 years. That's longer than America. That's longer than our nation, for those of you who live and are from here. Longer than America, all they knew was slavery. That's kind of like us thinking that prosperity will continue forever because that's all we've known in America. It's like, oh, it's been going up and to the right. So that's the truth. Hopefully, let it continue, that one. Let that one just keep on going. But all they knew was 400 years of slavery. And then God drug them into, set them free. They walked out through the Red Sea, and then all of a sudden they're free people, and they don't know what to do with themselves. God has to give them laws. God has to kind of almost wash them for 40 years of what they have known. Kill off an entire generation because they didn't understand what it was to be free. They didn't understand what it was to trust a father. And then 40 years later, he brought them into the promised land. But if they had just continued to say, well, the future will only look like our past because that's all we've known, then the future would have never come. Then the new thing that God wanted to do would never be there. And tonight I believe that God, for me, for you, for our church, for the church in this city, that's all the churches together, God would want to take the barriers off. That there's things in our life that we've said, God, this far and no further, I'm not going to trust you because I've not seen that done before. God wants to do things that he's not seen done before. I actually have a word, but I've just left it back there. like something that comes from Bible. But before we get into that, I just want to encourage our faith and stir us up a little bit that God would want to do something new. God wants to do something new here. For me, for you, for us together. And I say all of this as we get into our message tonight. It's about growth. And I thought, how ironic that God would want me to speak about growth on Memorial Day weekend. You know, when the churches are at their smallest, when people are traveling at the greatest. I wanted to bring up a lot of our director team, our leadership team, our lay team on the stage tonight. And I was speaking to Marley, and she's like, don't do that. They're all gone. I was like, okay, maybe another time I'll introduce all of our team here. I just thought, how ironic that God would put a word on my heart about growth in the middle of Memorial Day weekend. But I believe that God wants to do something that we've not seen him do. If we can trust God when the economy's down, then we can definitely trust him when stuff starts to climb back up. When the economy of our life goes down, when our health fails, when the finances fail, when the job fails, when our friends and family fail, when things that we thought were sturdy and steady start to crumble apart, and when we trust him then, when the stuff starts climbing back up, then we can definitely trust God. If we can believe God in growth on Memorial Day weekend, then we can definitely believe God for growth on Easter Sunday. Resurrection's coming. All right. I'm going to grab this now. We're going to John. Excuse me. No, I've thought it was John all week, but it's actually Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to finish out our series looking at light of the world. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. In the beginning, God spoke and created light and life and made all things new and bright and beautiful. And it didn't take long. Three chapters into our Bible, everything breaks, everything's destroyed, and darkness wreaks havoc upon the earth. Our darkness meaning like our sin, our rebellion, our waywardness from God. We walk out of his presence, out of his garden, out of his glory, and start doing things our own way. It's just another turn of the page where we get the first brother killing his other brother, and things just kind of get worse and weirder from there. But God had a plan to restore and redeem. He sends his son, Jesus, the light of the world. As Genesis chapter 1 begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. And God spoke, created light, said, let there be light, and there was. John chapter 1 starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things that were made through him, and he... And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. And then he goes on to say that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness cannot understand it. Jesus is the light of the world. But what's incredible is as the light of the world, the Word of God made flesh, as God himself was walking upon this earth, speaking to people, people that he had made, people that he had formed. Think about this. He called his disciples, and he was the one. He was the God that breathed their soul into them. He was walking on the waves and the water, and he's the God that spoke and created the waves and the water himself. I mean, here's God Almighty put into his creation, and he's as the light of the world. And then he turns and says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Because we, as his church, we as his body, are a reflection of him. We're to reflect who he is. We're to reflect his love. We're to reflect his creative power. We're to reflect his inclusiveness. We're to reflect his grace, his anointing, his power, his ability to heal. We're to reflect all of who he is. Just as Jesus reflected all of who the Father was to us, we are to also reflect and demonstrate the love of God through the whole earth. And we're going to talk a little bit about how we do that tonight as the church. Can you believe that from the very beginning, when God spoke and created, that he had something on his heart? He had a people on his heart. God's been looking for a people that would just be with him, that would love him. Now, he doesn't want that because he's a needy, kind of lonely kind of guy. I saw the creepy guy sit next to the cute girl tonight on the train, and she very politely told him to go get lost. He's not like that. We could quickly think that God's like that guy. Not like that. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's been forever wrapped up in a beautiful relationship, white hot burning affection for the Father, to the Son to the Holy Spirit to the Father, a beautiful relationship, and that love spilled out onto the universe and created life so that it would demonstrate and reflect his glory. And one of the most beautiful ways that God demonstrates and reflects his glory is when he dies for his creation. That doesn't sound like a needy God. That sounds like an extremely abundantly generous God who would say, I'm going to create something that's going to turn on me and betray me, but I'm going to love it still. So much to the point where I'll let it kill me. That's incredibly powerful love. That's not a creepy guy in the subway. But God had something on his heart, that a people would know him, a people would worship him, a people would walk with him. Not because he's needy, but because he loves. And he loves to love, and he loves for people to be wrapped up in his love, because there's no better love than the love of God. And so he created Adam and Eve. They quickly fail. And he says, okay, well, I'm gonna redeem this situation. I'm gonna see if I can pull it back with Noah and his family. And their family quickly fails. Then he says, all right, I'm gonna call Abraham. And while Abraham was out worshiping other gods, God appeared to him and says, I'm gonna call you out of the land of your fathers into a land you don't know. And Abraham starts to follow him, but Abraham quickly fails. Abraham fails, Isaac fails, Jacob fails, the patriarchs, they each in their own way fail. God says, okay, well, I'm going to still create a people out of you. That was God's promise to Abraham. These people quickly fail. God says, okay, I'm going to still rescue you out of the hands of Egypt. I'm going to bring you into the promised land. I'm going to finally fulfill the promises that I spoke to Abraham. And they get into the land. They occupy the land. They start to worship God. They set up the temple. And even still, their hearts turn back to idols and their hearts turn back away from God. God says, don't worry, I've still got a plan. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to build the temple into their hearts. I'm going to write my word, not just on tablets, but I'm going to write it into their hearts so that there's this direct relationship. No longer will there be priests, but I will be their priest directly, and I'll have a kingdom of priests. And that's us, the church. And God has had a dream of having a church since before he spoke the world into creation. God has had a dream, and I would even say a dream of having a church in New York City, of which we're a small part of. Thank God there are other churches doing great things, but we are a part of the church that God dreamed of when he spoke the world into creation. And I believe that God loves us and wants to take the barriers off of our life so that we can fully demonstrate the love, the beauty, the power, and splendor of our King. That God would have the best for us in this city. That God would have good things for his people and for his church here. Good things as a church. I mean, people that are going to come to know God, people are going to have their lives restored, people that are going to experience the full restorative, loving power of God. Things good for us personally as well, meaning husbands and wives and children and jobs and apartments and all that we need to live and work and do the good things that God would have for us to do in this city. That God has good things in store for the upright. That God has good things for his church that he's been dreaming about before he even spoke a word of creation into existence. God's got some good things for us. And so our job is to not hold back what God would have us do because we've just never seen it done before. Or because we've had some bad experiences in church. Or because we prayed and the prayers weren't answered. Let's go to God in prayer. God, thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you that, Lord, tonight we get to talk about growth. Thank you, Lord, that you've got good things in store for us. And I pray that tonight you'd build something into us as a church, that you'd build something into us as a body where we can trust you more deeply, follow you more obediently, and, Lord, ultimately see your plans and your purposes accomplished in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, like I said at the beginning, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. If you've got a Bible, you can go there. Also, the words are on the screen. And it goes like this. Ephesians, this is a letter that Paul is writing to a church in Ephesus. So it's called the letter to the Ephesians. There you go. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I've got 3 points tonight. We're going to cover them pretty quickly. It's grow, grow, and grow. This passage is all about growth, but it's different kinds of growth, and each kind of growth is actually not very distinct. That all the growth, I believe, would blend together, and as one part of our life grows, so would another part. And so it's not the best exegetical work, but it's exegetical work. It's all in the passage, but it's not all distinct, and so we're going to kind of falsely separate things that really just blend and merge together. As we experience growth corporally, we're going to, of course, grow spiritually. As we experience spiritual growth in Jesus, of course, we're going to experience personal growth. But I would just want to talk about growth personally, growth corporately or growth together, growth in size, even in size of our church, and growth in Jesus, kind of in three different stages. There's first this personal growth, and you do see this here in this passage. and talks about how he gave pastors and prophets, evangelists, teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's us. If you've believed and trusted in Jesus, then you're a saint. You might not, when you think of saints, you might think of dead people. You might think of people that have gone before us. You might think of maybe your granny or your grandpa or somebody out there, somebody that would never, ever maybe watch the TV shows that you watch. Maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody that would never say a bad word, and you know that you've said a bad word, so you're not a saint. But tonight, if you trust in Jesus, if you've chosen to follow him, then Jesus would look at you and say, saint. You're in, you're included, you're a part of the body of Christ. And then God has given pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers to equip the saints, to equip us, essentially. And so I don't really want to do a deep dive into what the role of a pastor is versus a prophet or an apostle, but rather just read this, that God gave people. Isn't that interesting? That God would choose to give people to his church. That God would choose to put people in your life to equip you and cause you to grow. God put people in your life. If you've chosen to come to Every Nation, then God put me in your life in some to some degree or another. We might be friends, we might be Facebook friends, you might just come and hear me talk and lead this church, but to some degree God has put me in your life. And I'm grateful for it, and I also am kind of sorry that it's me. I love you, and I'm going to do the best that we can, and we're going to work together, and we're going to grow together, because that's part of our mission, and that's also just deep in the heart of God. Can you see how we know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference here in this passage? It's written, it's in Scripture. We pulled our mission and our vision right out of the Scripture. So God gave us people. And here, I want to get really practical. Here, Every Nation PM service, God gave us particular people. And I just want to kind of walk through some of the people that God has put into this service. And this is when I wanted to pull up our directors, but they're all out of town. So first, God gave us pastors. And tonight, there are two pastors that are devoted to this service. I'm one of them. And then Pastor Bruce, it's an honor to be serving alongside you, sir. So let's give it up for Pastor Bruce. I love that man, and he's been so committed to this night service. And when I arrived a year ago, he brought me in, and it's been awesome to serve alongside you, sir. So thank you, Pastor Bruce, for being here. This PM service is also serviced, other than our central Every Nation team, but we have particularly two staff people assigned to this service. One of them is out in the lobby. It's Marley, and she, you might think that she's, yes, we love Marley. Marley, do you hear us? We love you out there. But here's the thing, TBN, the building that we're in, requires us to have a fire marshal in the lobby, and that's why she's always in the lobby. And so she's deeply a part of this service, but also by law out there. So we love Marley, and we so appreciate all of the, she runs a lot of the logisticals behind the scenes. Are you poking your head in, Marley? Don't come halfway. Okay, that's somebody else. The other staff member that we have assigned to our PM service is Kenny. Kenny leads our outreach team. Kenny also meets with a lot of people and runs a lot of practical stuff for us as well. We've got to haul our equipment in and out of this building every Sunday night. Kenny does a lot of that with me. So thank you, Kenny, for your devotion here. We've also got two worship leaders assigned to our PM service. One is Terry, and we have not seen Terry in a while. Terry is Bruce's wife. You guys have been married 7 years now. Terry is from New Zealand and the Philippines and was called of God to move here and marry Bruce and lead us in worship. And she does an awesome job leading us in worship. But a month ago, Terry and Bruce, they visited the Philippines to do that celebrity wedding that we heard about. Remember that? And Terry got something up in her throat and she's lost her voice for a month. She's on the mend. She's taken antibiotics and steroids and has taken very strict vocal rest. She didn't speak a word for like 3 weeks. And I believe that, that's a terrifying thing as a professional vocalist and a worship leader and a woman who uses her voice to make a living. And I believe that the devil hates. The devil was a worship leader. The devil used to lead worship in heaven. I believe that he hates worship leaders because he's jealous. because they get to sing praise and worship to the one true God while he is banished forever from his presence. And that the devil would come against our worship leader. And I wish that I had spoken about this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I'm sorry to you and Terry, but I would like to take a moment. Let's just pray for our sister and our worship leader, Terry, tonight. God, thank you for your goodness. And we agree, just as the body of Christ here tonight, Lord, heal our sister. Lord, we stand, while she can't even speak, we speak these prayers out to you, God. Heal her, restore her. Thank you, God, so much for her leading us in worship for so long and all of her faithfulness and the way that she's built our team and encouraged us in so many occasions. Lord, we bless Terry and ask, Lord, that you would heal her and that she would return to leading us soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our other worship leader, Kim, are you back there? She's somewhere. This theater has all sorts of places to hide. And so Kim, who is leading us tonight, is our other worship leader who's assigned here. Christy also filled in for a couple of weeks, but we're going to see a lot more of Kim and Terry going forward. They're going to be our dynamic duo, leading us in worship every other week, the two of them. So we're so grateful for our worship leaders. And then another level of people that God has added to us as a PM service is our volunteers. There's a volunteer army that makes this service happen every week, and I'd love if you volunteer in any way, if you serve in any way at our PM service, would you please stand up? Anybody that serves, Joan on the first row, I know you're, so stand up if you can. I'm sorry, I know you've also got the laptop in your mouth. Kenny, who else is here? Come on. Ian up there, and normally Nadine is with him serving in our hospitality. Chris, sorry. Nope, I've got it. Christine, thank you. I'm on the spot. Thank you. Gina and Abe is gone, and Christine is gone. But look at this. This is a pretty thin group. And my invitation is that we would join together as a body and serve. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Where's Nandy? I know Nandy's here tonight. Nandy's a super faithful usher. There you are, Nandy. Thank you. Thank you, Nandy, for your faithfulness. She's serving almost every week at the doors and serving us as an usher here. And we're so blessed to have this team. We'll also need to grow personally, that God would add more people to serve in this church and serve each other. And for some of us, this might seem like what we do through the week. For others, this like being an usher could be, you know, above something in your head, you say that's above my or below my. You know, I'm over experienced. I'm overqualified, and I don't think that there was anybody more overqualified than Jesus, who came and washed feet, than the God who spoke and put souls into his disciples would then bow down and wash their feet. And as we serve each other, this is just us modeling what Jesus has done for us. As we serve each other, as we get in and just do some of the hard work and some of the menial tasks, I believe that God would love that and breathe on that and help us to grow. I think of a 19-year-old, really a boy, that wandered into my church in Edinburgh. And when he came in, it was just the most awkward thing. Like, I was like maybe 25, and I just wanted to, like, oh, you poor thing, like, come on in, you know, we'll find you a friend. And he was shy, and he didn't really talk. And I got him, at the time I was like our lead usher, and I got him on our ushering team. And within a month or two, I was like, this guy, he's just learned how to do this job. He just did it really well and was super efficient and would tell me, Nathan, don't grab that piece of equipment. And we had this long haul that we dragged stuff down. He said, don't drag that piece of equipment because that one can be grabbed with that one. And he just had like the most efficient kind of nitpicky way of setting up everything, just the most efficient thing. And I was like, all right, this guy's got it. And he was training other people on how to be the most efficient because we had a time, very strict timeline that everything had to be done by. And so I was like, you know what, dude, why don't you just lead this team? I was like, all right. And he got more young, awkward guys on this team. And it just became this team of young, stinky, awkward guys. But they got the job done, and it was incredible. And then a few years later, you know, he had some mishaps and some faux pas in dating relationships. And he bought a horse and some weird stuff. But he started to grow in his faith. And good things started to happen. And then he married way out of his league. I was like, what is this guy up to? This is incredible. And then he started to lead our freedom ministry. He became a prayer warrior and started leading our freedom ministry. And also all that nitpickiness, he also just volunteered and ran our whole church's finances for us as well. And God just took this really awkward guy from just serving all the way through and just grew him up. And I know that most of us are probably not 19. Some of us are a little bit older than that. And if you are 19, you're welcome here. And if you are 90, then you're welcome here too. But I believe that all of us have some growth to do. And all of us could grow through serving. And I just want to invite us into that opportunity to serve together. Because I believe that we're not just serving one another, we're also serving the city, and that God has a lot more for us. As we serve one another, we're going to grow. As we knit in together and get equipped by one another, we're going to grow. That there's personal growth for us, and growth doesn't always look like sitting down with Yoda. Sometimes it looks like washing feet, and sometimes it looks like passing a basket, and sometimes it looks like welcoming at the door, and that God has a lot of different stuff for us to do. Also, we have connect group leaders here. Our connect group leaders meet in small groups throughout the city, and help people grow in their faith. They pray for people. They teach the Bible. They help pull out the gold that God is calling other people to do. And I believe that many of us here will be connect group leaders in the future as well. That we can be leading teams, that we can be leading people, that we can help other people grow in connect groups and in our ministry teams here on Sunday evenings. But God has got some really good stuff for us. As we knit together, we discover our purpose, we can make a difference here. So God's got personal growth for us. Two thoughts. Don't count anyone out. Don't count anyone out. Everybody has a place in the body. Everybody has a place in the body. So don't count anyone out, but then don't count yourself out. God's got ministry for you. God's got potential for you. God's got a way that he wants to use you here, I believe, and elsewhere. And that as we grow in the house, we're also going to grow outside of the house. As you grow outside of the house, you grow in the house. The church is a perpetual motion of gathering and scattering. We gather to be encouraged. We scatter to take the word of God through the city. We gather for encouragement and strength, for healing, for restoration. We scatter to take what we've learned throughout the whole city. That God wants to fill all things in all ways. And it starts, and it's this perpetual rhythm, like a heartbeat of gathering and picking up the oxygen and then scattering and taking it through the whole city. That's what God wants this church to be, a place where we encounter heaven and then we take heaven outward through this whole city. We gather, we encourage, we touch heaven, we invite our friends, we have an encounter, we have this powerful moment, we get equipped and established in our faith, and then we scatter through this whole city. God wants to start establishing this cycle into us. We gather well and we scatter well every week. The next thing that we see here is that the body grows. It grows in size. It's very interesting. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way. Not just in some ways, not just spiritually. The church would not be relegated to just our spiritual life. That we're going to grow in every way. Some of us is to grow in relationships with others. It's to grow in maybe a dating relationship. God might have that in store for some of us. For others, it's growing our families. For others, it's growing our careers. That God would have us grow in every way. And we should never separate the secular and the sacred. We should never say, well, I learned about that in church. It doesn't apply to my not church life. Come on. God's the God of everything. Yeah. He's the Lord of Wall Street. He's the Lord of Broadway. He's the Lord of all. And he would want us as his people to grow in all ways. And that includes in our size and in our number. And I believe that God wants to do something in our night service. Though we be small, we be mighty. I can't remember how it actually goes in Shakespearean. Does she be tiny, she's mighty, or something like that. I can't remember exactly the phrase. But I believe that over our church. We're not the biggest church. We're not the flashiest church, but I believe that there's a mighty thing that God is doing here. There's a unity of faith. When we join together in prayer, my goodness, heaven is there. And I believe that God would want to take that and to grow that. It's very interesting. At the end of this passage, it says that it builds, that the body builds itself up in love. The body builds itself. The body builds itself up in love. And it's hard to tell whether the body is growing or if the love is growing. I believe that both are growing. Both the love is growing and the body is growing. And for me, I believe that growth numerically, that as people, as new people come into this place, as new people are welcomed in, as people that are not from Christian backgrounds and not from just another church, that as we welcome people from every background and every ethnicity and everybody's welcome here. Everybody's welcome here. We're every nation is welcome here. Everybody. As we welcome people in, that one of the primary motivators for that is love. That we're motivated to grow, not because, you know, that we get new cool stuff or we get a better name or we get to be bigger or anything like that. I believe that God would want to have this in our foundation, that we grow because we love. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. For God so loved the church that he died for her. That God so loved our city that he would plant every nation into this church, into this city. And that as we grow, we're going to grow in love. And as we grow in love, we're going to grow. And so I want to shake off maybe there's a part of our heart that has grown stale. That we go, okay, I'm comfortable with my friends. I have known people here. Now I'm done. Or maybe you've seen a lot of friends pass through the city and you go, man, I think I'm about to fall out. I'm about to leave this place. My encouragement is let's not grow hard. Let's not grow, I can't love anymore. Let's grow in love. Let's grow in love for others. Continue to have a new space in your heart for a relationship, to continue to have a spare chair at your dinner table for relationships. I'm going to meet another person. I'm going to make another friend, to always be growing our heart in love so we can always bring in a new relationship. A couple months ago, we as a church, I ended the service by taking us all out to the front doors. Were any of you here for that? And we prayed over our front doors. And we said, God, bring in the city. We want to turn our hearts outward. We want to always have a new space in our heart, as it were, for one more person. And I believe that as we grow in love, we're going to grow in size. As we grow in size, we're going to grow in love. I'm not just here. God did not move me here from Scotland to not see more people come to know him. I want to see more people come to know him. Not so that my name's great, not so that we can have a bigger stage. Frankly, I could use a smaller stage right now. But so that more people can know God, more people could be equipped, more people could discover purpose and make a difference. A little bit on just some practicals. As a church, we are this TBN is going to be renovating pretty soon. And God has got a new space lined up for us in this city. This PM service, we've been a little bit like the children of Israel, kind of, we've hit most of Manhattan now, Upper West, Upper East. This is as far south as we've been. We've done Midtown all over. And so God has been moving us around, and he's continuing to move us around until one day we settle into our own space someday. Though, anyway, I have a lot of thoughts on that, but I'll reserve building ownership and other things for later. But we do own a building in Hell's Kitchen, and maybe one day that will be soundproof enough for us to worship there, or we'll acquire the apartment directly above us, and someday we can maybe worship God there. But hopefully by that time we've outgrown that space. But God's got a place for us here in the city, and my heart is that all of us would be able to join together and move there together. And that as we move, we can find the way that we're going to operate as a body, as a church, in that new space. We're not moving next week. We're not moving the week after that. We're not moving the week after that, but we don't know exactly when we're going to be moving. But when we do, I will let you know as soon as possible. And so until then, we're worshiping here at TBN, but God has got a new space for us, and we're currently in negotiations with the place. And if you want to see what it looks like, then come to our worship night on Friday night. It's at the Armenian Evangelical Church on 34th Street between Lex and 3rd. You'll see it. You'll recognize it. It's a very different-looking building because it looks like a church. And we'd love for you to be there. We're going to worship God together there. And that is in all likelihood, the space that we'll be moving to probably in July. Check our website. Make sure that you're on our e-blast if we don't have your information. And then always turn up here, and we're going to be announcing it every week that we are on the move, and I hope that we can all move together. I believe that God has got some new good stuff for us as we move. This service has been through a lot. This service has some history, And that God is bringing some fresh, even deeper healing, even deeper restoration to this service. As I was talking to our leaders, we were praying together, and they were saying, yeah, God has brought us through a lot. And TBN was a quick move, and when we moved into TBN, we were recovering from a lot. And so there was some emotional weight that kind of just sat in our souls collectively. And we're saying, all right, I believe that God has got it's a good thing, that God is going to bring healing and growth as we move to a new place. And so while some of us are very sad to see this place go, others are actually quite happy. And maybe TBN will allow us to come back when they renovate. But all of that is in the hands of God. But in the meantime, we as a church, we are a people, not a building. And the church of God has always been a people. And it's never been, in the heart of God at least, a building. And we as a church are very blessed to image that peopleness as the same people move from building to building and remain the same church. It's really cool. Because church literally means ecclesia. Greek, it means the called out. Those who God has called out. And we, as every nation, we are the ones that God has called out to gather together and to scatter through this city. And as we do it, we're growing and bringing greater growth to the kingdom of God. Third way that we grow, that we see growth in this passage, is we grow with Jesus. We grow with Jesus. We grow in likeness of Jesus. We grow just in every way to be more like Jesus. And just listen to these words. In verse 13, until we all attain unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure, listen to these words, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What this is saying is that we're going to all work together. We're going to all be equipped. We're all going to pray. We're all going to worship together until we all attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Bruce. That might be possible. Bruce is a man of a man. But that's not what this passage is saying. Into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a unity. That's a power. That's a growth that I want to see in my life. And then it goes on to say that we grow up. Grow up. If you ever wanted to tell somebody to grow up, here Paul writes, grow up. We grow up in every way into him who's the head, into Christ. In verse 15, it says, and we grow up in every way into him, into Christ. As each part is working properly, as we speak the truth in love, we're growing up not just to be bigger. We're not growing up to be a better church. We're not growing up to just have a better name. No, we're growing up into the head of this church, Jesus Christ. We're not growing up to be like Nathan or Bruce, certainly not. We're not growing up to be like Abe or Christine or Nadine or Ian. We're not growing up to be like any leader that's in this place. We're growing up to be like Jesus. He's the head of this church. He's the one that died for this church. He's the one that loves this church more than me, more than you, more than anybody else could. And we want to be like him. As each of us find our place in this body, as each of us work together, we're going to grow personally, we're going to grow corporately. Thirdly, we're going to grow up to be like Jesus. And I cannot wait to see the kingdom of God come as 1,000 Jesuses joined together, as it were. I know that might sound sacrilegious, but that's pretty much the language the Bible likes to use. We're his body. We're the representation of God on earth. We're hundreds and thousands of us joined together, little Jesuses. And we're sent out every week through this city to transform Wall Street, to transform Broadway, to transform education, to transform real estate, to transform the way that laws are being made in our government, to transform arts and entertainment, the sports industries. Praise God, he's got good things in store for us. Transform our universities and our schools, to transform our families and the religious institutions. God wants to transform the city as we see one life at a time become marked and become like Jesus Christ. We're going to grow up together. We're going to build relationships here. We're going to witness God change our hearts and change our lives. And we're going to see, I believe, by just the power of God, as more and more people get a heart for this city, we can see New York City change together. Let's do it. Let's do it. Church, let's do this. Praise the Lord. Thanks, guys. God, thank you that you have a beautiful vision of a church that loves each other. Jesus, you tore down every wall that would divide us. God, I believe that tonight you want to take the barriers off of our lives, to not judge our future by what we've seen in the past, but to judge our future according to what you see. And God, I pray that tonight you'd speak a fresh word to us. God, where we've seen things not happening as fast as we'd like, where our patience is growing thin, where we're just at a ragged edge, God, I pray that you'd speak fresh life to us tonight. God, I pray that you'd heal our past wounds. Lord, that you'd heal our past hurts and pains, where we have bruised faith, where we prayed and not seen something happen. God, I pray that you would come alongside each of us tonight. Lord, thank you that there's a beautiful future. God, for those of us who are like, I just can't do this city anymore. For some it's housing, for others it's job, for others it's family. God, I pray that you would hold us in. Thank you, God, that you've moved us at least for a season into this city to be a blessing to this city, to be salt and light. You are the light of New York City. Church, you are the light of New York City. And God, forgive us at times for hiding our light. Forgive us at times for letting the world put so much mud on our light that it can't come out. Forgive us, God, at times for us being so down on ourselves that our light doesn't shine. Forgive us, God, for hiding our light or putting it under a bushel or whatever we've done. But God, I pray that tonight you'd take off the barriers, that we'd let our light shine, that we would be the church that you've called us to be, that we would arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, church. That God, we stand and be radiant. The kings would come to the brightness of our dawning. God, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're called to stand and be radiant. We're going to throw off the former things. We're not going to remember the things of old, because today God is doing a new thing, declares the Lord. A new thing that you would not be able to think of if you tried. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blood shed on our behalf. God, that we could throw off sin, that we could throw off entanglement, that we could throw off encumbrance, that we could run with endurance the race that's set before us, that we could be the church of Jesus Christ tonight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.